When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Well, just like that, after what felt like kind of a somewhat lackluster national championship game, the college basketball season has come to an end. After, of course, the South Carolina women on Sunday win the national championship and remain undefeated, and the UConn Huskies do what they did last year, and that is win every single tournament game by at least double digits. And the Huskies knock off the Purdue Boilermakers 75-60.
Just another UCF-style chokehold to win the title. I mean, essentially, they just stifle opponents. It's amazing what they've done defensively.
Very good defensively.
Last night, allowed only 7 3-pointers to even be shot by Purdue. Only 7 attempts.
I do really want to kind of dig into this game and just the story of UConn. But first of all, welcome to the game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and A.J. Shaw with us across the glass. The phone number is 785-537-1350 if you feel like calling in, asking a question, or making a comment. As coming up in both hours, we will talk Ayoka Lee. She, along with head coach of women's basketball at K-State, Jeff Mitty, spoke to the media about Yoki making the decision to return for her final year of eligibility. It'll be her 7th year as a Cat.
Aren't you forgetting that someone else was a part of that news conference today, too?
Oh, yeah, Bram.
Yes.
Her puppy.
Yeah.
That's the first. I think that's the first for me. A student athlete bringing a pet.
Yes.
To the press conference.
Very cool.
Well, and so Lindsay has a Labradoodle.
Yes.
And big dog. Goofy dog. But a real sweetheart, really, just really goofy and kind of a spaz. Ayoka Lee's dog is some sort of doodle mix as well. But it's just a puppy, just a few months old, and it's going to be a pretty big dog as well. Named a Bram. Obviously, you could understand what Bram is named after. Anyway. That audio coming up at, we'll have that coming up at 425, plus get to a very specific thing that was brought up at the beginning of the press conference. That is about how Yoki could potentially become the next face of women's college basketball. And I thought that was an interesting deep dive. As I kind of got into it a little bit this afternoon, I want to bring my thoughts to that coming up at 510. But also because of the men's NCAA tournament coming to a wrap last night, what also comes to a wrap is the Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge at newsradiokman.com and also on our other station websites. You can fill out the bracket there as well. It has officially come to an end, and we have the honor here, Troy, to announce our top 3 winners.
All right.
So let's go ahead and start with third place. Third place takes home a $250 gift card from Booth Creek Wagyu. And that goes to Bree Thomas of Wamego. Wins the $250 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu. Second place, and actually the second place prize, is sitting just outside my office. It is the 65-inch Roku TV.
You are not allowed to take that home.
I am not.
You are not.
But after I tell you where this person is from, you may have think it was an inside job here. Brandon Moore of Clay Center has won the 65-inch Roku TV. I don't know him, but congratulations and shout to Clay Center. But first place, the winner of $750 in cash. You read my mind, AJ. I was about to call for a drum roll, and is that the only drum roll we have?
I just played it off YouTube.
Oh, that was a very short one. Give it to me one more time. The winner of the $750 in cash will go to Eric Ziegenhart of Alta Vista. Congratulations to Eric. He is the winner of the Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge. And congratulations to all our winners. Plus, a big shout out to Booth Creek Wagyu and also Carpet One of Manhattan. Carpet One of Manhattan, Booth Creek Wagyu, making this possible. And I can't wait to do it again next year. Troy, were you keeping up with your standings? I was like middle of the pack.
I had a rather large chuckle this morning when I saw that I essentially dropped 50 spots last night just by the outcome of the game. I was in 106 going into last night, and I knew that, you know, I was going to get shuffled backwards because I had Houston winning the title. And, you know, yeah, but 64 points for the championship game makes a huge difference.
So, Eric, Brandon, Bree, congratulations. I don't know how you beat me, but you got lucky. You got very, very lucky. I don't usually lose these things. Just ask people around here.
I think Mike DeMott would like a word.
Listen, he got lucky. What do you want me to say? He got lucky.
For the, what, third year in a row?
No. So this was the 10th time I've hosted our bracket challenge around here, and he's now won it three times.
Yeah. So, breaking it down yesterday morning when I was looking at what the scores were, it really broke very cleanly for those top three spots. 2 points of separation between first and second, 2 points of separation between second and third. Going into last night, you had to go all the way down to sixth place for anybody who picked Purdue to win the title, or a not UConn pick. The first five people in the rankings had UConn going into last night.
Well, and I, with this bracket challenge and just people filling out around here, like, you know, when I was talking to people about it, like, hey, Manhattan Broadcast, we're doing a bracket challenge. We're giving away some great prizes. You should get involved. You know, just whoever I ran into. And they're like, oh, I don't know really anything about sports. I was like, dude, you don't have to know anything about college basketball. The person that finished in second place that would have won the whole thing if Purdue would have won the national championship doesn't watch any college basketball. Like I said, they just get lucky sometimes.
Right.
It's almost kind of like it's like an educated lottery.
Right.
If you had the option to pick one of the numbers, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have a shot at, you know, if you get a Final Four team in there, hey, you got a decent shot of winning the whole thing.
Here's the other little tidbit. Brandon Peoples shared with me what happened on his bracket in the challenge. 0 points for the final three rounds.
Yeah. He didn't have a single Elite Eight team. That's rough. I've never...
Brutal.
That is poverty when it comes to filling out a bracket. You know, going back to the national championship game last night, you know, it felt so lopsided. The game finishing in a 15-point win for UConn, it seemed like it was much more than that. Just because it felt like UConn really controlled the game. Maybe not necessarily throughout, but their style of basketball, what they're known for, showing off their talent, took over like it does in every game that we've seen the last two NCAA tournaments. And this was a very different team than last year. This year's UConn team lost about 80% of their scoring from the year prior. So it was a very different team that really didn't have to rely on depth. They just had such a core starting five. And Purdue had one superstar player, but wasn't the best all-around team. And we saw both in the men's and women's national championship game, and we saw what kind of team was superior to take home the hardware.
One of the things that stands out again, and I go back to the number from last night, and that is just 7 3-pointers attempted by Purdue. That's a team that had been the second best 3-point shooting team in the country this year in Division I. And to be limited to just even attempting 7 speaks volumes to what UConn did. The game plan was perfect. Donovan Klingon held his own against Edie. Yes, you let him get his points, but nobody else was getting shots. That's the thing that amazed me, is that nobody else was getting good looks whatsoever because of how good UConn's defense was performing last night.
Well, and all season long, I mean, UConn has had an amazing emphasis on rebounding,
yes,
especially offensive rebounding, and they rebounded Purdue in the game 35-28. They had 5 more offensive rebounds, and the second chance points certainly showed a difference, and yet Purdue still had a 7-4 player, but UConn also, as we had the tallest national championship game when it comes to a starting five, as in the starter at the five position, with Klingon of UConn, who's 7'2".
Clark Kellogg made a great point going into the ball game last night, and that is that it really was the first time since 1984 that you've had that type of a matchup at center, where you had Hakeem Olajuwon and Patrick Ewing in 84 matching up in the Final Four. And in this case, last night, Klingon at 7'2 and Edie at 7'4. Yeah, the big man was back this year for college basketball.
I know Dan Hurley is not the most popular coach when it comes to style. Like, are you a fan of his style and his intense style? Getting after officials, he gets tossed out of ball games a lot.
Yeah.
It's happened like 4 or 5 times, actually.
Yeah, it has. I think that there's room for improvement there, yes.
I kind of like
it. But I respect him for the fire. You know, you cannot deny the fact that he is exceptionally passionate, but on top of that, just an exceptional coach. And I think part of what makes it interesting to me, on top of everything else, you know, there were teams that thought that they would strike gold with Bobby Hurley as head coach. But, you know, Dan Hurley had to grind for his opportunity before finally getting the UConn job. And it's paid off in spades for them.
I think, was this his sixth year?
Yes.
Sixth year at UConn. Before that, he was at Rhode Island. Fourth year at UConn?
Yes.
And before that, he was at Rhode Island. And then Wagner. I mean, when it comes to actually like D1 head coaching, he kind of made a quick surge to that UConn job. At least in my opinion, it felt like a quick surge. He has taken an approach because of the NIL. Of NIL now the last couple of years, and he's coaching his players like they're professionals. He has become a more intense, a tougher head coach, and it's paying off. We have never seen an NCAA tournament run ever like this. The last 2 years for UConn, they've gone 12-0 in the last 12, obviously, NCAA tournament games, and they've won every single one by at least 13 points. That is an unbelievable run. And this is not talked about enough, but in the 21st century, well, the 21st century plus the year 2000, the last year of the 20th century. Oh, so it is his sixth year. Okay, AJ corrected, double-corrected. Yeah. Corrected his mistake, I guess, is, or however you want to put it. Anyway, this has been UConn's century, and this hasn't been talked about enough. When you combine the men's and women's programs of UConn, do you know how many national championships those two programs together have won in the last 25 years?
Men have 6 overall, and I believe they're all in the last 25.
Well, the answer to that question is 15.
Total.
15 total. Yeah, UConn, on the men's side, never been to a Final Four until 99.
Okay.
99, 2000.
Yeah.
And when they won their first national championship. And now they've won back-to-back tournaments.
And by that point, the women were already starting to rack them up.
Well, yeah, I mean, Gina won one, maybe two in the 90s. And then I think the UConn women have had five undefeated runs for national championships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And essentially, you've got six teams that have gone unbeaten, six schools that have gone unbeaten in winning titles.
AJ?
Geno's first was in 95. Yeah. So they had only won one at UConn before the men's won their first.
Okay.
It felt like they were always there, though.
That is true. You are right.
I mean, maybe you have this pulled up as well. Gino Auriemma's winning percentage is like 90%. It might be more. I don't know. Maybe give or take a few percentage. It has to be somewhere around 90%. Maybe AJ could pull that
up.
In
conference, it's 90% flat, pretty much. 88% overall.
I mean, UConn is not talked about enough on the work on the men's and women's side that has been done to win championships over the last decade and a half.
They are also helped out by the fact that they made a move back into the Big East.
Yep.
They were, you know, kind of wandering in the American. Felt like that they had lost some of the juice. And on the women's side, I mean, that was just joke central in terms of what the scores were.
Yeah, beating
that they
everybody
were putting
by
up.
40 points.
I mean, it wasn't competitive. So the best thing that has happened for them from a school standpoint is that they got back into the Big East, because it's helped sharpen them both program-wise into basically being Power Six rather than having to make do with what was on their schedule. And, you know, think what UConn would do with the American this year on the men's side with what that defense is.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Don't even remind me of that.
But then again, the question becomes, do you have that roster in place if you're still in the American?
Mm-hmm. Last thought in the NCAA tournament, back-to-back years, I felt like the Big 12 didn't show up.
Just brutal.
I mean, I don't have numbers to back this up, but right. You're just based on results and based on not many teams making out of the first round. It's been back-to-back years where the best conference in America doesn't have a Final Four team.
And
it has looked brutal in the first round.
And it shows in the final AP rankings as well, as I noted to you before we got on the air. Just four teams made the top 25 as voted overnight. Just four. Houston at number three.
Let's take a break. Still to come, hour number two will feature a very interesting line by Jeff Mitty earlier today, mentioning how Yoki could be the face of women's college basketball as she comes back for another her last year of eligibility, which was announced on Sunday. But we're going to hear from Ayoka Lee when we come back, as you're listening to The Game. We're back on The Game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and AJ Shaw representing Chicago.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Illinois.
Someone's got to. The White Sox sure aren't.
They stink. Yeah.
The thing is, though, I'm not a White Sox fan, so.
Speaking of baseball, we're going to debut a new segment coming up at 5:40. Get to some Ayoka Lee audio here in just a second. I had a press conference earlier today along with Jeff Mitty. AJ, what was the first, living in Chicago, obviously is a big pro sports town.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first ever pro game you went to?
It was a Cubs-Reds game in 2004, and Greg Maddux pitched.
Who won the game?
The Cubs did. I don't remember that from that day. I had to go back and look it up. But they won pretty easily. I went with my dad, a colleague of his from work, and his son. And the only thing I remember from that game is the hot dog. That's the only thing I remember from that game.
Good hot dogs there at Wrigley?
They're okay. Not as good as they are in Los Angeles.
How many times Los Angeles?
Dodger dogs.
Never been to a Dodger game or a Angels game.
Farmer John, Dodger dogs. Sorry.
I've never been to Dodger Stadium, but I've heard they're good.
For a long time, I was a big jinx for the Royals because I had never gone to a Royals game and seen them win until they won the 2014 ALCS Game 4 against the Orioles to clinch and go to the World Series.
Really?
I think prior to that, I think I was 0-12.
Dang.
It was a really bad drought.
So I had a drought very similar, not as long as that, but from like 2011 to 2015, every game I went to, and there was a two-year hiatus in between there because I just did not want to go watch them lose. Also, I was a naive 12-year-old at the time. they didn't win a single game. Then 2015 came around. I went to a game early in the year. They played San Diego. They won on a walk-off. And I said, boy, this team's going to be good the next few years. And sure enough, the following year, they broke the curse. I was right because my dad told me they were not going to win in 16. They were going to win in 17. I said, nope. And boy, I was right about that. Boy, I was right about that.
AJ, as a student at K-State, how has the Aoka Lee story affected your life?
I think it's fantastic. She's coming back another year. I'm not going to be a student there next year, but you know, I'm excited to see her play another year because I think we can go and do some big things next year.
I totally agree. And earlier today, Aoka Lee spoke to the media. She will return for her final year of eligibility and made that known on Sunday in a social media post. Here is Aoka Lee earlier today speaking to the media. I was there in attendance when she knew her decision was made.
I think I kind of knew, like, maybe like last week I was talking to some of my like closer friends, like, yeah, like I think this is what I'm gonna do. But I still have a meeting or a few meetings just like with career wise stuff, like to get me like still making strides forward in that area, that I was gonna wait till after I had those to tell Coach Mitty.
See, that's kind of funny because she started to laugh there at the end and Jeff Mitty kind of gave her that look. It's like, well, we didn't make the announcement till about a week later. Would have been good to know that, hey, you made the decision a week prior. We could have, you know, really gone after our plan to recruit a week earlier. But, you know, it was jokes aside. Mitty had said previously, he said it here on this very show, that he was going to give Yoki as much time as she needed to make the decision. She ended up making it in what turned out to be exactly 2 weeks after the loss to Colorado in the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament, which for Aoka, there was a few things to think about before making that decision.
You know, had to think of some just like life and like adult things, as you do once you get to kind of your mid-20s. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of goals we didn't accomplish this year that we wanted to. So just having the opportunity to come back and have, you know, another chance to do those was a big part of the decision.
Yeah, I mean, I always feel like I'm being mean when I say this, but they didn't meet expectations this season. I think when you go out and beat Iowa, you start 9-0 in Big 12 play, three of those wins without Yoki, fans are now all of a sudden, hey, they're bought in. They're showing up. They're nearly selling out Bramlage Coliseum for 5 or 6 home games. They end up selling out the round of 32. And when the team is that good, wins are expected. All of a sudden, they should be winning a Big 12 championship, at least, you know, be in the running. And unfortunately, it didn't work out, but also just falling in the round of 32 to a Colorado team that maybe also deserved to host in the NCAA tournament, expectations were not met. And that was a part of Aoka Lee wanting to come back for K-State. At one point as well, she also told her teammate she was coming back.
And then I texted Beck and Gabby first, and I was like, you know, I loved our senior night so much. I just wanted to have another. and then my teammates, I was just like, you know, I think we need to get a conference championship. And they're, yeah, it was fun. They were, yeah, like, don't mess with me. I was like, I'm not.
Don't mess with me. Yo, it's happening, guys. It's happening. And it's not like a, it's not a run it back type of thing. It's, let's meet our goals this year. It won't be a run it back tag on or anything, because they didn't win. They didn't come home with any hardware. They didn't get to cut down any nets. There were no confetti in the air for a K-State win. There were some marquee wins, don't get me wrong, but there was a lot of achievements that were just not meant, other than individual things.
Mm-hmm.
Aoka Lee, once again, All-American. Gabby Gregory plays in an All-Star game.
I mean, about the only you might be able to say is that reaching number two nationally, getting the win over Iowa, those types of things. But again, at the end of the year, you still came up short of what they wanted to accomplish.
Well, and I know, I mean, she's definitely not like a, you know, with this kind of decision, not thinking about a whole ton of personal accolades, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and at some point, we're going to have her on the show and we're going to talk about this decision. You know, does she think about becoming the all-time leading scorer at K-State? I think she's 140 points away. And because of the games she had missed, and also games she had missed due to injury in previous seasons, I think there's no doubt if she just played, you know, the allotment of 4 years, she would own just about every record there is. And when she would officially, there's no doubt about it, in a four-year run, become the absolute undisputed GOAT of women's of K-State women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. But she's third place in the all-time leading scorer list. And that, boy, other than like, you know, well, she does have the best three-point shooting percentage of all time at 100%. Mm-hmm. She has never missed a three-pointer in her life. And I guess another record she probably won't reach is steals. And leave that to the Glenn twins. They're the defensive specialists.
Can you imagine, though, what the rebounding record is going to be after next year?
But doesn't that, I mean, to you, does that throw like a, is there an asterisk now by those records when she already had the rebounding, she already had the blocks record. You can't take that away. She got it done in 4 years of actually playing basketball, mm-hmm. but with the fifth year, that Wecker right. didn't have, that Oldie didn't right. have.
You know. No, it's a tremendous debate, but at the end of the day, you know, you're playing the way that the rules were implemented. I mean, that's the best way that you could put it. You're just taking advantage of that opportunity. And so why penalize by putting an asterisk next to it?
Getting back to what drove Aoka Lee to come back for her last year of eligibility and going back to her teammates, that was a part of it.
I think my teammates are a big part of it. I think, you know, you're not going to go to every school and just have great relationships with all your teammates. So I think that's a really big part of it. And then just coming off the year we had, we're capable of, you know, winning the conference title and things like that, and not being able to do that was like frustrating this year.
Yeah, multiple times it was brought up, conference championship.
Mm-hmm.
To me, just by putting the pieces together, you know, we've heard multiple clips now. Never really like came out and said this. This is why I want to come back. But if you put the pieces together, I think two of the big things are that, first of all, you know, continuing her academics, which we'll hear from her in just a second, is, you know, K-State has helped her out greatly and reaching the goals that she wants to do when she gets to her professional life outside of basketball. Teammates, special bond, but maybe the top thing is winning a Big 12 championship.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to me, putting the pieces together, I think that's what it really boils down to. Wants to win the conference championship, something that women's basketball hasn't won in a while. A couple more clips. Okay, where, Yoki, I thought this was an interesting question, where she's at academically now, because this is going to be her seventh year.
My clinic director actually asked me yesterday if I wanted to start a PhD, and I was like, no. Yeah, so I'm graduating with my master's in like about a month. Yeah, so thinking about a certificate, thinking about just maybe just doing some classes and just having fun, you know, taking a year to just do what a lot of student athletes do and just take some fun classes.
Yeah, she's going to get her senioritis on.
right?
Is what I'm hearing when it comes to her, and you know, the field that she wants to get into, the family therapy. I think that's what it is exactly. I may have to double check, but I know she's very involved with that, so she's going to be pretty hands on in that job that she's currently. I don't know if it's technically a job, but you know, working on again, fine tuning what she really wants to do when she gets out of basketball. Do you have something, AJ?
Oh, no, I was just raising my hand on the senioritis comment, kind of in a joking way, but not really.
Is that what you did this year?
A little bit.
President accounted for, right?
Well, because yeah. I didn't go to K-State. I was going to, but I decided after I got my 2-year and went to the Howard Stern Show and all that, I was like, you know what? I got the Stern Show on my resume. Isn't that basically a 4-year degree in radio? I think this will work. So I just went out and ended up here, and now I'm doing my thing. But
yeah.
What's senioritis like for a four-year degree, getting your bachelor's? You got to be taking still some
a little bit. I mean, I'm taking classes obviously that I need to graduate, but I mean, you take a little fun class here and there. You take a class that, you know, I took a law class last year. I mean, it was pretty fun.
Well, give me an example of like, okay, so
I did dance as an example.
What kind of dance?
Just regular dance. I didn't take like any specific dance class.
I don't know what regular dance is. You could just stand there and snap your fingers. That's regular dance.
I don't remember the exact name of the class.
Ask Hitch. That's good enough dancing.
I don't remember the exact name of the class, but it was like interpersonal dancing or whatever.
Are we talking tango? Are we doing some salsa? We did a lot of two-stepping. We waltz.
No, not that far. Very simple stuff.
I mean, two-stepping is kind of common in these parts. I don't know about Chicago. How do people dance in Chicago?
I have no idea. Probably like everybody else dances, man.
They dance on their heads.
You act like we dance all weird, man.
I tried break dancing one time and I threw out my back. Let's see, where are we at here?
You broke something, yes.
Her reaction to going to now be in the program for a 7th year.
Hopefully they see it as an opportunity to learn from someone who's been here so long and been successful. But also I think just being able to just like relate to them and just, you know, help them out and be a good leader is also an opportunity for me. And I think it just will strengthen our team culture at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't see it as a downside at all to be, once again, the locker room general, to be a teacher, not only just a player, but a coach as well. And bringing in Kennedy Taylor from Missouri State, who's going to be another four to help some of the workload for Aoka Lee. That's going to shore up some depth. They've really shored up some depth the last couple of years at the forward position. Now, the other option, and another thing about the 7th year, like the 7th year is thrown out. I was like, oh my God, that's such a long time. You know, really these days, because of COVID, it's not really that crazy. To me, it's not really that big of a deal to see a 7th year tag on somebody. Understand, Yoki had a couple of years stolen away from her.
Right.
Just some really freak things that happened, nasty injuries, took a long time to recover. She has not had a traditional route in a story over these last 6 years of traditional basketball. It's been a lot of hurdles. But now this year she has an opportunity to finish her story. And that's win a Big 12 championship. Just referenced WrestleMania. Nobody caught that. Let's take a break. When we come back, we crown.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
A brand new Jabroni of the Week. After these words.
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
You jabronis hit the jackpot.
That Hollywood blonde jabroni, Hulk Hogan.
Ow. Is this jabroni's name?
Jabroni of the Week.
I think, there we go. We're on now. I think I'm going to make it our thing. Aoka Lee is the Cody Rhodes.
Oh boy.
Of women's college basketball to finish her story.
Okay.
Go get that Big 12 championship after ups and downs, some heartbreaks, some injuries. Finish on top in her last year. just it was a long journey. Took a little while to get there.
You shed some tears on Sunday night, didn't you?
I'm not going to lie, because the whole Cody Rhodes, Bloodline, The Rock, Roman Reigns story had so much real life used in the storyline,
right.
Involved in the storyline. Yeah, as a longtime wrestling fan, it pulled at the heartstrings, and I got a little choked up. I'll be the first to admit it, and I guarantee you, I wasn't the only one. The ring announcer, Samantha Irwin, who is phenomenal. She's better than I am. Was fighting off tears while she was making the announcement. I was like, I get it. This is a long storyline. It was a long payoff, and there was so much real life because they kept bringing up Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, had never won the world's
right.
title with the WWE, never won it. Dustin Rhodes' brother, who was Gold Dust, never won it. The one title that his family never got. It was a good storyline. It was a really good story. I mean, WrestleMania 40 was pretty strong. All right, here we go. Jabroni of the Week. By the way, Jason Kelce did show up. He was involved in a match. And he did wear it wasn't a Chiefs, but it was an Eagles lucha mask. It was at Lincoln
nice.
Financial. It was at the Link in Philadelphia. And he helped Rey Mysterio win a match. And then he ripped the mask off. The place goes nuts. Hey, it's Jason Kelce. That was neat. It was also maybe the most boring match of the
what?
Two nights. So had a little spark. Hey, let's do Jabroni of the Week. We'll start with three dishonorable mentions. Let's start Chiefs and Royals. Is it fair to go Chiefs and Royals because they lost the sales tax vote? That's why they're my first dishonorable mention. I'll let you be the judge of that.
Yeah, I think we've kind of established that they could have done a lot differently in terms of that vote.
I mean, on the Royals side, it was a bit messy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I think they deserve a dishonorable mention.
Too much. Too much, too little, too late.
My second dishonorable mention, I'm going to give it to A's owner, John Fisher.
Oh. That guy could be Jabroni of the Year.
Where did he get all his money? Was it from Gap? Is that what he?
I believe so,
is that
yeah.
where he got all his money? Anyway, he should not be a sports franchise owner because it was just looked at as an investment, but it's just poor leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know this story better than I do, but this whole story why he's dishonorable mention is that the A's finally, after this year, they're out of the O.co. Their contract to rent the
their
place.
Lease. Yeah, their lease comes up.
Well, I didn't want to call it a lease. It feels like weird calling it a lease. But anyway, it runs out this year, so they need a home for the next 3 years while their stadium is being built in Las Vegas. So they're going to play at a triple-A ballpark in Sacramento that holds 10,000.
It is a well-done ballpark, but then again, the fan base is less than 10,000, so you're fine.
Well, I mean, they don't even need 10,000 seats.
No.
The Oakland A fans are not going to show up anyway. It doesn't matter where they – because it's because of who the owner is. They, you know, was it a hashtag or it was a trend of trying to get rid of him, trying to get him to sell the team or whatever. But he called this ballpark the most intimate ballpark in all of Major League Baseball to try to sell the fact that that's where they're going to be playing.
He's a complete punk. I have so many things I could say about the guy that would get us kicked off the air. I hate him.
Why do you hate him? You have
I just
no
don't like him.
To the A's?
I like the Oakland A's. They're like a second team to me.
I'm sorry.
I love their
How did
fans.
That happen?
I'm sorry?
How did that? They haven't been good since Salvi's had the won the wild card game.
Hey, they won the division in 2020, man.
Was that division any good?
Houston was in it. They made the playoffs.
They won. Yeah. They won the division in 2020, but completely dismantled the team. And oh, by the way, that was COVID year.
Yeah. My my last dishonorable mention is going to go to a lady that caught Shohei Ohtani's first home run at Dodger Stadium. So she caught the ball. Here comes a whole bunch of Dodger personnel to, first of all, separate her from the rest of the crowd who may try to steal the ball away from her, get her to a safe spot. And then they kind of pressure her to give up the ball. They gave her a couple of signed baseballs, yes, a signed bat, some stuff. And she's like, all right, here's the ball. And they also, by the way, according to her, threatened that if she kept the ball, they would not grant her any sort of authenticity or something that said
seriously,
that this is the ball.
Oh, boy.
But it turns out, according to experts, that ball is worth approximately $100,000. And she gave it up for a couple of baseballs and a bat that are worth about $1,000 each.
Yeah, that's about right.
Maybe she's not so much the jabroni here. Maybe it's just the Dodgers for the pressure they apply. But this is according to her, right?
Yes.
She still could have not done it, could have found some proof. I mean, she was in a Dodger office talking to a whole bunch of people. Hey, snap a couple pictures. You're holding the baseball. And that's not, you know,
it might
be some sort of evidence there. But it is tough without the authenticity. All right. Finally, here comes the Jabroni of the Week. The Jabroni of the Week, and it's a whole bunch of people. It's those people that paid for over $1,000 for that special Eclipse flight from Delta. Because there have been multiple reports.
Uh-oh.
Multiple reports. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen one good report out of this because everybody was saying that by the time they got in the air and the pilot had done that, the maneuvers to get a good look, they missed
the eclipse.
They did not get to see it in totality.
They were late. It's almost as bad as the New Year's flights that wound up not making it on time to have the last celebration.
And only half of the plane got to see the maneuver.
Brutal. Brutal.
And people paid over $1,100 for a seat.
Wow.
That's going to do it for hour one. Hour number two, when we come back, Jokić could be the next face of women's college basketball. We'll talk about that. I think that's an interesting topic that leads off hour two. Your local news next as well. Stick around. Hour two of the game is next.